You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabach, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Schwabach.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. Happy Monday. Hope you're having a great night. Hope you had a great day. And if you didn't, stick with us. We'll try to make you feel better. We've had a really fun show so far. Con, where would you rank this in shows we've had so far this week?
The best this week.
Definitely, right?
Exactly.
Without question?
Yep.
We've talked about a number of things. Obviously, very sad news about Rob Reiner, but that did lead us to a fun question of the night to help us celebrate all the things that Rob Reiner left behind. You know what, Con? Let's start things off with a bang and reintroduce our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite Rob Reiner film? What would you say is winning so far? Princess
the
Bride?
Princess Bride or
Stand By
few,
Me?
Yeah, Stand By Me, I feel like. A Few Good Men, we've heard.
It's hard to go wrong. Nobody said The American President, which was a little cheesy, but Misery, too, is another one, kind of one I had forgotten about. But that is our question of the night. You can let us know what you think at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also weigh in on any of the topics we are talking about here tonight. As usual on Nightlight, it is always more fun when you guys participate. So do not hesitate. Be part of the show. We also talked about Dick Van Dyke, who turned 100 over the weekend, December 13th. He says 100 years is not enough. He has a great life. He's a happy guy. Now, he's been very successful. But I do think that Dick Van Dyke, as well as a lot of people that live that age, to be that age, just have a great outlook. Unlike, where would you say you stand, Conrad, on as far as being a positive person goes? And how do you translate that? How long do you think you'll live based on your outlook right now?
I was going to say in the summer, I'm really positive.
Summer, it's 85. Winter, it's 42.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think I didn't realize this, but you said he has a 54-year-old wife?
Dick Van Dyke. 57? 54 or 57, yeah. She's half his age,
that's
basically.
That's a pretty big age
that's
gap.
A big gap. It you know what? It was more significant when he was 68 and she was 22.
Is that when they started dating?
I have no idea. No, I don't think so.
I think
he's been married a few times. He probably has children older than his wife, but seriously, once you get past a certain age, you know.
Age is just a number.
It's not exactly, like, he's much older than her. It's not like he's robbing the cradle, though. Let's be honest.
I'm just like, you know, that's pretty big age gap.
I know what you're wondering. Can he still do it? And I have no idea. I don't want to know. I don't want to picture it.
In a certain night, he has to be really positive that day.
Right. What if she likes guys even older than him? He's so immature at 100. I want a 112-year-old.
Where are they at?
Who knows what the hell's going on in that Van Dyke household? But if you want to see something really cool, go to Google and Dick Van Dyke and Chris Martin from Coldplay. It's just a great, he just talks to Dick Van Dyke about his life and being old and how he got there. And then they sing a song together. And it's so cool. And Dick Van Dyke, one of the truly famous people I would really try to meet. There's some you wouldn't walk across the street to meet, Mark Wahlberg.
Pete Schwabach.
Boy, if you're seeking out Pete Schwabach, your life is seriously devoid of celebrity. But, you know, and then there's people that I, you know, if I saw Albert Brooks, I wouldn't introduce myself. But most of the people, I would leave them alone. I would just go, oh, it was cool to see them.
What about Rob Schneider?
I met him. Oh. Was nonplussed. I mean, you know. He was a funny comic. He did the HBO Young Comedian special in like 1988 before I even started. And he was funny. Like, he was a funny comic. He's a little political now. And when You know, if a comic talks about politics and can make it funny, great. He's kind of a one-trick pony right now.
You know, he did say something recently about his famous movie.
Which one is that?
It's Deuce Bigelow. Deuce,
oh, of course.
He said, yeah, I don't think they'd do it nowadays with Disney. Because it was a Disney film, I guess.
Because they got smart and only made good movies? We're going to remake it. It's called Douche Bigelow. What do you say, Rob? Can we get you to sign in? But he was funny. He used to do a joke about the pizza guy showing up, and he says, "Hey, honey, you got some money? The pizza guy's here." And the guy flips out. "Hey, I'm not the pizza guy, all right? This is just what I'm doing now." And he goes, "Oh, sorry. Yeah, let's call up and order a round bread thing with sausage." Yeah, he was a good comic. So anyway, let us know, folks, what your favorite Rob Reiner film is, and weigh in on other stuff. I saw this text, Donna Marie, on the stream. I'm sorry, I just saw it for our previous guest, Laura Enright. She said, "It sounds good. Can't wait to read it." Yeah, Laura's a very good writer. And in the first, it was fun to talk to her because we've had her on the show a couple other times. She's always engaging. She writes about cool stuff, and that's what I like about Laura so much. In the first hour, we also had Sean Connolly here, who told us all about a really cool ski event, the Birk Marathon. Is that
Birkenbeiner?
Birkenbeiner Marathon. Yes. Cross-country ski marathon. The third largest in the world from Cable to Hayward. And Sean is a big-time outdoorsman. He is part of our Nightlight Window Fund, which I will post shortly. We took a picture of Sean in his skis on the closest thing we could find to a snow hill here in downtown Green Bay. So it was fun to have Sean on. And Laura, and then coming up at 7:20 in studio will be Teresa Apertola Sergo. I hope I'm saying her name's right. I did try to do a Google thingy and could not find a video. But she will be here. She's a stage actress and very involved with the Green Bay Community Theater. And we had, who was the guy we had on last week? Martin Prevost from the Green Bay Community Theater. A really fantastic organization. They do great work. And she's going to tell us about a couple upcoming events they have there. We'll talk a little acting. Let's see. We did the question of the night. What am I missing, Con? I think we're good. We're caught up, right?
We do got some stream text if you want.
Yeah. Donna Marie, who I just mentioned, said The Princess Bride is a classic. That's her favorite Rob Reiner film. Dave on the stream says Stephen King's 1982 collection, Different Seasons. Three of the novellas have been adapted into films. Rita Hayworth and The Shawshank Redemption. Apt Pupil. I forgot about that movie. And Stand By Me, based on The Body. Well done, Dave. Good research. Dave is our, he's a regular card catalog. Do you even know what the card catalog is?
The card catalog is where you put all your sports cards, right?
It could be. No, that's like how you found something in a library before the Google.
Oh,
the card catalog. I don't even know. I kind of forgot about the card catalog.
I learned the what? I don't even remember what it is now. The
Dewey Decimal System. There's all kinds of fun stuff.
Yes, I learned that in middle school.
I mean, Dave was a literal encyclopedia here with this knowledge. Fantastic. Donna Marie also says, saw the new Spinal Tap movie. Rob was in it. And he looked good. It was funny, but nothing beats the original. Yeah, I've heard mixed stuff on the new Spinal Tap movie, Donna Marie. I'm glad you liked it, though, because I've not heard great things. Sometimes it always seems like a little desperate when people make, you know, when they make sequels 40 years later, I feel like it's like a trip down memory lane for the artists, or I don't know. Sometimes I guess you get a great script, but it seems like those are few and far between. But thank you for the text, Donna Marie. And Craig Knitt, our pal on stream, says, so many of Rob Reiner's films are absolute favorites. One thing I was thinking about is the film The Bucket List. Prior to that film, no one had their own lists, but the phrase became part of the worldwide lexicon. Great point, Craig. I think that was Morgan Freeman. The Bucket List. Yeah, I forgot about that. You know, Bucket List, Con?
I've seen it, yes.
You've seen the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have a bucket list?
Not yet.
Do you have a bucket?
I do have a bucket in my car, actually. It has some clothes in it.
The perfect place to keep a list.
So this weekend, Friday night, after the show, I came home and I watched the new Knives Out.
Oh, yeah. You were excited about that. How was that?
Wow. I was super excited. And
I've heard it's good.
It is so good. It is fantastic.
Wow.
It kept me like into the movie the whole time, like from the start. From the start of the movie, I was in it.
That's awesome.
And I looked it up, and it's 92% Rotten Tomato when I looked on Friday. But
yeah, I knew it got good reviews.
Fantastic film. The story behind it was amazing.
Really?
Josh Brolin is hilarious in it, by the way.
Love Josh Brolin.
Like, there's really serious parts of this movie, but there's like times where you just don't expect you're going to laugh, and it just hits you.
Okay. So where do you rank it in the three?
Oh, number, it's the best one out of all.
No kidding. Oh,
yeah,
I'm definitely
tops.
Gonna watch it. Let me ask you this: did you stick with Pluribus?
No, I didn't. I didn't do the thing where I wanted renew my Apple TV.
Oh yeah.
Because my friend came over, and that's how we watched it. Because he has Apple TV, and I was like, "Well, it's good, but I don't."
It's so boring.
Oh, no.
It was so great. The first episode, and I kept, like, last night, it looked like things were starting to pick up. And then, again, snooze fest. I turned it off with 15 minutes left. I didn't even care about the big, they try to give you a cliffhanger at the end of each episode. Just a dud, man. So boring. And I'm sure it'll close strong. Vince Gilligan's great. And the first episode was fantastic. And I bet the last one will be great. This show should have been four episodes. This season should have been four episodes. So damn boring. But like I said, I'm sure it'll pick up. Let's see here. We got Charles Krause checking in on social media, says, Princess Bride, Rob and Michelle, I'm sure, are now having fun storming the castle. A great loss. Yeah, for sure. Very well said, Charles, and thanks for your contributions to Nightlight tonight. Derek Pfister on social media says, too many to name, but he's naming one, and it's When Harry Met Sally. Thank you, Derek. Tim Baker says, Spinal Tap, my favorite comedy of all time. No kidding, Tim. That's awesome. Our pal Marta Hansen, very talented musician, says, The Princess Bride, and Eric Rathsack from... I always want to say How I Met Your Mother, but his band is Ask Your Mother. He and Adam come in here, and they are awesome when they're here. I love having them on. Eric says Spinal Tap. No, not a big surprise. He's a musician. These are great texts and a great list. What do you think the highest rated Rob Reiner movie is, Con?
The Princess Bride?
No. Oh. Close. It was number two at 96%.
96? Wow.
It's 96. Spinal, like, who didn't like the, show me those 4% that did not like The Princess Bride, or the 2% who didn't like Spinal Tap. Although Spinal Tap was a mockumentary, I could see that could be, maybe just not someone's cup of tea. But The Princess Bride?
They just don't like movies.
Exactly.
There's like, yeah, it's fine, but I would rather watch a TV show.
It's like about a guy, it's like the guy who writes about economics for the local paper, and they sent him to cover the movie. That's kind of a knock on.
They're like, our guy's busy today, our movie guy.
That's right.
That guy over there, you go.
Send him. Local features. All right, coming up next, folks, we've got a thespian coming into the studio, very excited, and let us know, you still have time to be a part of the show. What is your favorite Rob Reiner, not Rob Schneider movie, Rob Reiner?
Yeah.
It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Yeah, oh, where can you go when your money gets low? In the basement, down in the basement. And if a storm is taking place, you can dance and still be safe.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are broadcasting statewide here from beautiful downtown Green Bay on a chilly evening, but better than last weekend, I suppose. Mark from Prairie du Sac in the 608 says, there's the movie Innocent Blood. where the female vampire only takes criminals as her victims. Hearing of mob crimes, she decides to drink Italian as a comedy, horror, and drama. It's pretty good. Oh, that's a great recommendation, Mark. I would be willing to bet that Laura Enright has heard of that. Because that's not part of the vampire Innocent Blood. Is that one of the new ones? What's that? You know, the
Twilight?
Yeah.
No.
Isn't there a Twilight? Oh, New Blood.
I've never even seen Twilight. I know
you've heard of Blood, though, right?
I've heard of Blood.
True Blood is an HBO series.
Okay, right.
And it's based off a bunch of books.
Okay, it's not.
Yeah, that's with Suki. So True Blood. Takes place in Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah, it's fabulous, especially the first couple of seasons on HBO.
Do you like vampire stuff?
I am obsessed with vampire
stuff. All right. Gives us another something to talk about. That is the voice, ladies and gentlemen, of my next guest, Teresa Apertella Sergat.
Pretty good. Way
Not
to
too,
go.
I mean, it only took me like, you know, whatever. It's great to have you here, Teresa, and it's nice
Thanks.
To meet you.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you. Thank you.
You've brought an iPad.
I did because I got notes.
Is it like
I
a cheat sheet?
Kind of.
I've got my cheat sheet here, too, so we can cheat and make this a really fun interview. You've got a lot going on. We're going to talk about a few things. Bridget, by the way, in the 818 says, The Princess Bride. Love, yes. love that movie. Timeless. Rest in peace. Well said, Bridget. So let's start there, Teresa, because you're an actor. You're very involved in the Green Bay Community Theater, which is an outstanding operation by all accounts. Where do you weigh in on the Rob Reiner, like, it's interesting because he was a great director, but he didn't really write his stuff. So, but as a director, it's pretty hard to argue with the guy's success. I mean, he had one hit after another.
Well, those are different. Those are two totally different skill sets. Though, I mean, you've got the director who holds the vision for the storytelling. You've got the writer who writes the story. You have the actor who has to bring all of it to life. And the director's, especially with film, you know, there's just so much more to consider. But the director's sailing the ship, driving the ship, whatever. But, you know, they hold a vision in it, right? So that a really amazing story is being told. See, and I'm old, though. Like, I grew up on those classic Norman Lear shows. So I do remember him All in the Family. And with Archie always calling him Meathead and, you know, and that whole
so funny
and the back and forth of, you know, Archie Bunker living in Queens, never wanting the world to change. And then you've got Mike and his little girl, Gloria, and how that, depiction of what was going on in the 70s, being anti-Vietnam and just the different protests and feminism and all that kind of stuff. And Norman Lear and his brilliance, you know, just that tug of war with so many amazing shows in the 70s. And so that was my first experience with Rob Reiner. And I mean, he had brilliance in his DNA with his father being Carl Reiner. And I feel for like Mel Brooks, who's like 99 and has literally known Rob Reiner since
about
a baby.
Great
you know?
Point. I didn't even think of that. Like we were talking about Albert Brooks earlier and how he was Rob Reiner's best friend growing up and would spend time at the Reiner house. Like what is that even?
I know.
Insanity. And then you got Mel Brooks. You just said something really interesting. And here it's a testament to the greatness of Norman Lear. There are times where when I was a kid, I was like, Archie Bunker is kind of the bad guy. He's the old curmudgeon and says things he shouldn't say. But I sided with him sometimes because Michael Stivic was a meathead in a lot of ways and idealistic and not always. But they had such great back and forth.
Yeah.
And then I also loved it when the Jeffersons came into the neighborhood and they were at like I like George Jefferson playing opposite Archie Bunker. It just didn't get better than that.
Like, no, it was brilliant.
It's kind of like Frasier on Cheers. Loved him on Cheers. Didn't love the show. I know a lot of people do love it. It's a great show. But I liked him when he was like the second banana. Same with George Jefferson and Archie Bunker. They were so funny together.
They were. They were fantastic. And it's also, and Norman Lear, like they're also, almost, they're like total reflections of each other.
Yeah.
Because George was very conservative in his approach to life, you know? And
I'm skeptical about the other race. Like they both were. They just, because it was ignorance. They just didn't know each other.
Right.
It's like, they were basically kind of the same guy.
They really were, as far as the things. And then, their approach to each other, and also just the way that they thought as far as just certain morals of life. So, yeah.
Well said. Do you have a, before we move on, do you have a favorite Rob Reiner movie?
Oh my God, that's too hard. That's too hard. I would default to Princess Bride, but I cannot tell you how many days a week. I mean, I probably think about it once a day where I just go, it goes to 11. So,
right. So that might be our, Conrad, where are we at with that? Would you say, Spinal Tap or Princess Bride?
I'd say, I've heard Princess Bride more than anything, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, it's a huge... But then at the same time is When Harry Met Sally, which was iconic because it wasn't your standard romantic comedy, and it focused more on friendship. And then again, talking about the DNA, Rob Reiner's mom was the one who improvised the iconic line after Meg Ryan, and the mom just goes, "I'll have what she's having." Like, that's just... Can you imagine growing up in that?
That's the best. And then that's where the phrase, to the best of my knowledge anyway, the white man's overbite was coined. Like Billy Crystal doing that on the plane.
For sure. For sure.
Teresa Apertella Sergott is here. She is a local actor. We're going to talk all about the Green Bay Community Theater. There's some great productions coming up. And you are a referral of our pal, Eric Westfall.
Yes, thank you to Eric.
Shout out to Eric for that. We're going to do the news. And when we come back, we're going to tell you about a play that she is part of, and her involvement, and it's coming up soon, folks. So you'll have an opportunity to learn more, and that is coming up after the news. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Oh, man, we are jamming through a Monday night show here, folks, and thank you for being part of it. So many great texts tonight. We are talking to our in-studio guest here, Teresa Apertella Sergott. And the three names, you got to have three names if you direct theater. Is that not a thing, Teresa? Or
I just like to keep it adventurous for folks in the Midwest, because I'm not from here originally. So, yeah, they all have the same. What?
I don't think I was saying Apertola. Sicily or something.
I know. Everybody thinks that, but no, it's actually Hispanic.
Oh, no kidding.
Apertola.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very cool. So, all right. Teresa is here. She's our in-studio guest. She is a local actor, very involved with the Green Bay Community Theater, an outfit that has been around. I just learned this. Mm-hmm. Martin Prevost was here last week.
Oh, great.
And I didn't care for him. obviously kidding. Great guy. And I didn't know, though, that the GBCT has been around for about 90 years.
Yeah, it's 89 right now. And then next season will be its 90th season. And consecutively, they have had their doors open the entire time.
That is unbelievable. And they've done 390-plus plays. I'm guessing it's somewhere between 390 and 400, or they would have said 400-plus plays. But tell us a little bit about the history of this operation.
Oh, my gosh. The history of GBCT?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. No, you're going to have to get the box office manager Kit in here.
Get her on the blower, Con.
I know that they've been around since 1930, whatever. And then what's really kind of neat is the building that they own that's over on the west side off of Chestnut. It was originally a Baptist church.
Okay.
And they purchased it. It was like 1965 or 66 when they bought it, but then they moved in 1967. And there are these great old school newspaper articles, and you see, like, it reminded me of an old Murphy's Oil commercial. Like, all these women were around washing the walls because of being good for the wood, whatever.
Sure.
And like, their very first production, I think, in that space was in 1967. I have no idea what the first
Our
show
town.
Was. But I don't know.
Something that sounds
probably,
like
that. Probably, right?
Taking a wild guess, yeah.
And, but I think that's neat. It's been there since. They converted this old church into this really neat, quaint theater space.
What does it hold?
It's around I believe it's around I don't know if it's 175, 180.
Oh, one anything is great.
Right.
That's
there.
A great.
So, yeah. Yeah. I don't, it's between 175 and 190. And the stage is a nice little size. And it's that classic proscenium setup where the stage is up there as opposed to a theater in the round or something like that. They have a faithful, their season ticket holders are amazing. The community that they've created, you know, even during the pandemic where things were bumpy, those season ticket holders were just faithful and to even when they tried to get creative in doing things on Facebook and just a lovely group. They are the original of live theater here in Green Bay, which is really cool. And I can't remember how old they are in comparison to, I don't think they're the oldest in the state, but gosh darn it, they are close.
Got to be up there. How did you get involved? You said you're not from here. Where are you from?
I'm originally from.
Don't say De Pere.
No, a little further south, Florida, Georgia. Went to college out east in Pennsylvania. Met a guy from the Midwest, you know, he grew up here.
That's how they get you. Somebody brings you to their lair.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it definitely must have been the single digit weather that sold my heart.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was the cheese.
But how long ago was that?
Oh my gosh. Well,
you could have left like me. I was here as a kid. We moved here and then I came back here as an adult. I never thought I'd live here. And now I'm like, it's cold. I don't like the cold. But other than that, it's
so why
a very
did you come back? You escaped.
Family. The things we do for love, right? Mm. I mean, like, but it's a very easy place to live.
It is.
You know, it's got a lot of, I mean, the pluses outweigh, like I live in a small town. I'm bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
It's not, I live in the far north suburbs of Green Bay, also known as Marinette.
Okay.
So I'm almost a Uper.
Uper light.
Yeah, exactly. We're just south of the river, but it's like I said, you know, you got to make wherever you live, you got to make it fun. And I've liked everywhere I've lived. So,
yeah. We got married in 94. So we've been here. It took probably the first 20 to 25 years for people to consider me a local. Feel like I've crossed that threshold.
So you can do that in Green Bay. Green Bay is a little bigger where I am. We're still not. My parents moved there like 40 years ago, and they're still not. There's like six families that started the whole town. Like, you got to be related to one of them.
Yeah.
But that's great. Yeah, Green Bay. So your husband is from here.
Yeah.
You could have left. You stayed.
Yeah.
Unless he was a Packer or something. No. But you found this great outlet for yourself, the Green Bay Community Theater. So.
Yeah. Well, I studied theater. I was very involved in high school, but I studied in college. And, and then for a while when I was like, I would lead worship services, which is also kind of theatrical actually. And then when we had some kids and then, took a pause and, when my kids got old enough that I knew the house wouldn't burn down if I went out for the evening, I started getting involved with community theater and I actually auditioned first with Evergreen Theater, which is another local community group. But because of that group is how I met Dave Zockart, who is the current president of the board at GBCT. Mm. And he directed the first show I think I did in this area, now that I think about it. And having the opportunity to do theater again, it's always felt like coming home. And I've had the opportunity to also work with, aside from these two groups, I've worked with Theater Z. I've been able to, for a couple of years, there's a statewide one act competition, and I've helped with the regional judging. I love doing that. I love watching young actors and giving them solid feedback to grow. I've done character coaching with theater, with Studio 12. I've helped clients.
These are all Green Bay theaters?
These are all Green Bay.
I've heard of Evergreen.
Yep, Evergreen and Theater Z. And there's Studio 12 is actually a performance arts school with singing and acting. And I've helped kids get work on their auditions if they want to go into a BFA program. And I really love that. There's something very exciting about just I don't know, seeing a young person grow into something that they're very passionate about.
How is the involvement in Green Bay, would you say, in terms of children's theater? I feel like where I live, it could be better, especially because it is cold here.
Yeah.
It's an indoor sport. You still get a lot of the same lessons you get from sports or whatever. You work together. You have a common goal. Like, is children's participation in theater encouraged here? Is it an enthusiastic community?
Oh, for sure.
Okay,
for
good.
Sure. I mean, in De Pere, there's the Birder Theater, Birder Players. They have, I know, a program where they do a lot of children's theater. And Evergreen actually has a pretty strong young actors program. And through them, I was able to have the opportunity to direct a couple of shows with young actors. I've also worked with play-by-play theater. They're the ones who do Shakespeare in the Park every summer.
That's
here.
Eric has done that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
that sounds fun.
And they've done children's theater also, but what they do is that they've taken a children's story, and all the actors are adults and go into schools to perform it, which is a blast. I did that with them for a couple of years also. And it's just, you know, like kindergartners worshiping you. So that's awesome.
That's fun.
You feel like a rock star.
My guest is Teresa Apertella Sargat. She is a local actress, very involved with the Green Bay Community Theater, an operation that has been around for just a few years, 89. And so let's get to your play here before we run out of time. It's
for
called
sure.
Beats.
Beats.
And it's coming up semi-shortly.
What
can you tell us?
Yeah. One thing about me and that type of theater and stories, films that I'm drawn to are always very character driven.
Yeah.
I mean, I love me some good brainless entertainment, but I really love a good meaty story that you think about a couple of days later. Beats, when I read the script, I was like, this is a really neat character driven show. It takes place the summer of 1944 through spring of 1945. It is based on historical facts of a time when, after the Allies fought against Hitler and Mussolini, when they were trying to expand out of Europe and like go into North Africa, and the Allies won, they had all these soldiers that they had to do something with. And so we had German POW camps here in the United States from 44 to 46, approximately 400,000 men.
Hmm.
So, and at that time, there were only 48 continental states, and it was something like 28 to 30 states participated in this. And agriculture was obviously a huge part of the economy at that time. Well, all the young, strong men were in Europe fighting the war. And so you had these farms that needed help. So the government came up with this plan of these work camps, and these men could volunteer. They weren't even forced. They were
prisoners.
Correct.
Okay.
They could volunteer to work on these camps. And so Wisconsin alone had 20,000 men in these camps. The mothership was in Sparta. So they came through Camp McCoy, and they would spread across the state. Now, we didn't have any exactly in Green Bay, but Sturgeon Bay, Antigo, Appleton, Hortonville actually still has, they had barracks, and there's still like a piece of that on the land that it was on. What's really neat is the playwright, Rick Patton, he's from Colorado. So he wrote for this to take place in a fort somewhere out in Colorado, whatever. Well, on the publisher side, it said, if you want this customized for your area, reach out to Rick. And so I did. And together with last summer, we worked together to customize it for Wisconsin. And so we had to make sure it was a camp that did exist the summer of 1944. And so we ended up placing it outside of Germantown, Camp Rockfield. That's where it takes place, in a farm outside of Rockfield. And I love that it's in history. I love that we were able to bring it to Wisconsin, because I want it to kind of sink in people's bones. And I don't know if we have to take a break first, because I really do want to dissect the story.
Yeah. Well, we've got about a minute.
Okay. So the premise of it is, there's this farmer Fred, actually, who I just cast Eric in, and Fred is kind of the main, he's the one that goes through the moral dilemma, the the character arc. There's also a love story, but really it's about Fred wanting to protect his land, protect his family, and his anger that his son is fighting the war, right? And he's got these different people in his lives, his best friends. Like, this is common sense. Like, the guys work on the land. His wife is obviously the heartbeat of the story, but he has a daughter, and there's a bit of a romance between the daughter and one of the German soldiers. So there's all that tension. But Fred has to decide, is he going to stay in that anger? Is he going to stay fearful? Is he going to continue to call them negative names? Or is he going to let go and experience human connection? And so really, for me, why I feel that's relevant today, right, is things are contentious.
Yeah. Let's pick up right there.
Okay.
We're going to do a really short break. We'll come back and hear the rest of this. And I want to hear how beats tie into this, because I assume we'll get to that too.
So sorry. Yeah.
Teresa Abertella Sargat is here, a local actor. And we are coming right back on Nightlight with Peach Wamba.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight with Peach Wamba. Tomorrow night on the show, folks, Mike Gamal will be here. He's the founder of Joey's Song, a really cool event happening in January in Madison that gets bigger every year. The proceeds of the show go to help fight epilepsy. Mike will be here. Lots of great musicians involved this year as well, members of Garbage, and lots of other great musicians. It's just an outstanding program that they do every year down in Madison. What did I say? Erica? Who's here from Comedy City tomorrow?
Yeah,
we got Erica and Scott. Scott has been here before. We have not met Erica yet. Very excited to have them back. Nick will not be joining them. So he's sending out, he said they're two of my best. So Nick is kind of the patriarch figure. Do you know Nick Wallander?
I know, yes. I mean, love more Nick. Like we've seen each other. We don't really know each other, but yes.
He speaks really highly of you.
Does he? Yeah. Wow.
Before I even knew you.
Yes.
I was like, who is this Teresa person? We have to have her on the show. Nick's great. Erica's going to be great. Scott's going to be great. They're going to be here tomorrow. And then comedian Boris Hamilton will be here. One of my buddies from LA is making his first appearance on Nightlight. So that'll be fun. Right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest, Teresa Abertella Sargat. She is directing the film Beats at the Green Bay Community Theater.
It's a play, not a film.
Did I say film?
You did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean. That's
my background. My bad. Beats. B-E-E-T-S. Mm-hmm. So it's a very healthy sounding play. It's super fun,
well,
if you will.
And the reason why it's called Beats, honestly, is because it was a big thing about sugar beets, because everything was rationed in World War II.
Okay.
And so sugar beets were, aside from very nutritious on the veggie side, it was another way for people to have sweeteners. And so for the writer, like, that was, it just kind of encapsulates, just kind of that moment in time, right?
Yeah.
And so that was another thing, is then we found out, like, oh my gosh, at Camp Rockfield, there were guys who went out to sugar beet farms, and there were other guys who went to canneries. And so, and the thing is, they would get paid 10 cents a day, but they'd have canteens and actually all that kind of stuff, like, made some folks upset, you know? And that was the thing, like I said, as far as like what I was saying before, what I was trying to get into was, in the same way that things are contentious now, no matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, there comes a point where at the end of the day, you just go, but we are human. And and this story reflects that.
Okay.
Because Fred, like I said, he has to face in himself this concept of, it's an us versus them. And who is my enemy? What does it mean to have an enemy? Am I that person's enemy? You know, like, so there's a lot of that stuff that gets explored. And so, and that's another thing that I just love, is that, you know, it's from the 1940s, and it's the story takes place then, but it's reflecting something that's very relevant today.
That's great. How do you like you? This theater's been around almost 90 years.
Yeah,
you got to put the butts in the seats.
Yeah,
when you pick the material for a show you're directing, where's the balance where you go, people are going to love this, or this is a story I want to convey and get out there?
Yeah, I think, I'm not on the play selection committee, but what I do know is that they take suggestions from any and everyone, and I think that they are really conscientious. I was just talking about this with the box office manager yesterday or last week at auditions, and they're very conscientious to be like, is this a practically, can we even put on this production?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, who's going to be our target? Like, there are some things that might play really well for folks that are 70 and older. And then there's some stuff that that will just put butts in seats, which is typically almost any holiday show. And then it's nice to, like, once a season, maybe get something that is from that encourages maybe somebody who's not a well-known writer.
Yeah.
But it's a really sweet story, and it's one that can really make people think, which I love. Theater's my favorite, my absolute favorite medium, because I feel like when it's done really well, the story, it's a very safe place to explore possible subjects that are uncomfortable. Right.
Right.
And I love that theater it just makes you feel something. And if it's really, it really gives you something to chew about for the next day or two, I'm like, yeah.
Definitely. Well said. Teresa Eppertella Sargat is my guest. She is directing the show Beats that starts up, the run starts February 12th at the Green Bay Community Theater. We've got a texter. Sydney Frankenstein says, I think he's referring to Rob Reiner. He says, too many to pick. I think it's another day to take some time to tell the people who make an impact on you that you're grateful for them. Pete, thank you for the fun and escape your show. Well, thank you, Sydney. Very nice of you to say that. Thank you. And I'm glad you're a listener and a frequent texter, my friend. It's great to hear that. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly why we need live theater. And I love that you said that, Teresa, you're not only are you telling a story that people get passionate about, you're feet from the audience. Like you just can't beat that. Like, I've always been more of a film guy, but when I was a stand-up, I loved that intimacy where you're right there.
That
it's
energy.
Like, we're all here together. We've got about a minute left,
yeah,
and this has been fun. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
But what are you binge-watching? Do you watch TV? I know theater's your first love.
Oh, yeah, but I am a total binger.
Love it.
My husband and I just started that wackadoo one on Apple, that Pluribus.
Oh, my God. How far into it are you?
We only got through the first three, and we're just like, this is intense and this is weird. But we knew we had to watch it because it was the same gentleman, Vince Gilligan?
Yeah.
And Breaking Bad, which we were obsessed with Breaking Bad. Like, to me, that was such a perfect story. It was so perfect. And so we're really big on that. And we also, right before that, we binged like that quick on Netflix, the Lightning something or Lightning Strikes. And it's about the assassination of James Garfield.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that's really good.
Really? It's only four episodes. It's boom. It's
all right,
but it's really good.
You'll have to come back when you're further into Pluribus, because I love the pilot and whatever. All right. We have to go. Teresa, thank you so much. Thanks
Absolutely.
For all your calls and texts. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.